When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to That Stupid Fantasy Football Show. I am Tim, here today with Adam. What's up, Adam?
Hello.
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 Here we are. It is Friday, November 19th, 2021. This is what, week 11? Yeah, week 11.
Shit. Week 11.
We're really doing it.
Mm-hmm. We're here.
We're here and we're doing it this week, and we've done it almost the entire season without missing
I think
week.
We've only missed 1 week.
I'm
one
really week. Impressed. Really
yeah,
impressed.
That's, I mean, really good.
Yeah, the commitment level is has been upped an ante. The ante has been upped a little bit. Thank you for listening. I hope you're still listening. Tell your friends. Interact with us if you want. We're on Twitter. Not that much, but we're there at Stupid FF Show. So Adam, today we played in fantasy last week. You bested
I thought you
me.
Were going to bring it up.
You bested me. You know what? I wouldn't have brought it up if Popola also won. But since he lost,
that was the easier pill to swallow.
it was so much of an easier pill to swallow because I retained first place in my division. You and I are in separate divisions. So the only difference I think was we swapped one and two seeds, from last week.
I became the top dog. I'm the only 7-3 team, which is very exciting. I feel like if I win this week, then I feel like I'm pretty close, unless something catastrophic happens to my team, pretty close to locking in a playoff spot.
I would say so.
Which is always exciting. I mean, we have a lot of 6-4 teams, but, I think some of the 6-4 teams, you know, realize that they don't have what it takes to last. Like they see the writing on the wall, because I think there's just been a lot of, you know, just kind of close matchups and like kind of squeaking by here or there. But you look at your team and you got to say to yourself, like, if you have a shot to make the playoffs, I think you have to invest in that. But if you're sitting there thinking there is no way I'm going to win with this team unless I, you know, make a lot of trades, then maybe you should be selling and maybe you should be stockpiling for next year, because obviously you have some good players if you're at that point. You know what I mean? Like, you definitely have some pieces there that are getting you these wins week in, week out. But I mean, there's a few teams in our league that are 6-4 around there, like fringe playoff, maybe not in the playoffs this week, that just, I just don't see them doing anything. You know,
they can't make a run and win three playoff games against that opponent, that quality of opponent.
Yes. And do you think there is a scenario where if you haven't made those right trades, like right before the deadline, like what do you do? Like, do you hope you make the playoffs and like somehow luck into wins? Like,
yeah, play the wire. I think any team can win at any given week. You're just going to need to roll the dice on some uncomfortable matchups at times, I'm sure. If you don't have like the ideal team, and guess what? Not everyone will. And you won't either. Even if you think you do now, you know, you won't in a few weeks because of injuries or COVID or whatnot, you know, just, or a fake vaccination card,
fake vaccination card that you got, that your chef, read you out on your former chef.
Holy shit.
But according to Tampa Bay, according to the Bucks, that everybody's cards were legit. So evidently this chef is very upset that AB84 fired him or let him go because he's trying to get him in trouble. And maybe it could be true. It could be true. And then that leads me to wonder how many people in the league have fake vaccination cards.
Right. Yeah, that would be interesting to find out. Obviously maybe no way to know.
I mean, it's hard. But it's definitely hard. My buddy just told me he wasn't going to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And he had his own personal reasons. And I was like, well, you do you. I'm vaccinated. You know, I feel safe even around unvaccinated people. But when he's in New York and he's like started going to bars and they wouldn't let him in. So he's like, okay, I'll get a shot. So he went and got a shot and he got like $125 too. So it was when they were trying to like pay people, like get the shot. Nice. So he got the first one and he got the card. And now he says, I said, well, did you get the second one? Because you know, the bars out here and there's certain events, you have to show a vaccination card with two shots. He's like, well, I have a vaccination card with two shots on it. I was like, all right.
Oh my God.
All right. All right. Touche. Touche.
Okay. So I suppose if you have the one shot, you could like maybe just refill in for the second one.
Yeah.
That's what people are doing.
I'm sure. Okay. I'm sure. I mean, people are really good with Photoshop these days. So it makes me wonder like how many people, you know, mm-hmm. maybe faked it. I mean, I don't care. Like, I would just suck if there was a huge outbreak and the season had to pause or had to be put to an end. That would be awful. Yeah. But it seems as though the outbreaks, for the most part, haven't been that bad.
Right.
I mean, there's been a handful, but, like, not a ton.
It hasn't been that bad. It's been abrupt, though, when it's happened, which can be challenging for the fantasy gamer. Just a reminder out there to everyone to... you know, set your lineup appropriately. Like if you have two locked in running back spots, two locked in receiver spots, and then you have a couple of flexes, just for example, make sure the guys who you've got slotted in your flex are the guys who are playing latest that week, like Monday or Sunday night, or even the 4:25 game, because you never know. You could wake up or it could even happen before the game.
I see here, my rule of thumb, I would say even go beyond that. Just wake up an hour before the game start and check your lineups because, you know, then you could, no matter how you have your lineup set, that way you can at least know, okay, these people are playing. Because,
well, this will help you throughout the day, a Sunday.
But you might not have your best player in that flex position if you do that. And if something happens, then you're potentially not starting your best player. In that flex spot, you're just starting the player that has the later game.
Well, I wouldn't say do that.
That's what I was just saying.
No, I would make sure to start the players you want to start.
Okay.
I'm just saying set. So like, for example, last night I was planning on starting Damian Harris this week and I put him in the running back only spot and not my flex spot.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
In my lineup.
I see what you're saying. So yes, I do that
in
too.
Case because yes. I have Ezekiel Elliott or I have a player going Monday night. And because if one of them get COVID, for example, or
you've already had a running back spot filled. I lost you a little bit there.
It's kind of hard to explain.
You want to get your position players filled because with your flex spot, like last week, I had a bunch of guys on bye. I was like, all my guys in my bench were either on a bye or hurt, except for Pat Freiermuth. Mm-hmm. And I might have had to start him if Godwin didn't start. So I had I had Godwin in my flex spot, you know, just in case. So then that way I could switch him out for Freiermuth if I had to, because it was a wide receiver, running back, tight end flex.
All right.
Is that a better way to describe it?
Well, maybe. I think so. Yeah. Here's another example, right? So say you have a super flex league. And you have the quarterback in the Sunday night game, and then you have the Thursday night quarterback. You want to put the Thursday night quarterback in your QB slot, so that locks it in. So then, in case the Monday night quarterback that you're planning on playing ends up getting COVID, you find out on Monday morning, then you want to be able to pivot to something else in your lineup instead of. getting a zero.
Your roster isn't that bare that you're having to do that.
We'll see a Monday. That could be tough. Guy, if that was the case on Monday, all your guys may have played.
Absolutely.
And you know, you may have to pull some kind of drop or something.
Or something.
Yeah. You just don't want to lose on something stupid this time of year, because any win or loss is really potentially
make a difference.
It's potentially your season or it's a matchup in the playoffs, which could be your season.
A lot of money leagues, if you win the regular season, you get your money back or you win some sort of amount of money. So like, even if you're like, okay, I'm definitely in the playoffs, you still want to try to fight and get that first place. And, you know, that's always nice. It's always nice going into the playoffs in a money league when you're just playing with house money. You know what I mean? Like, that's always, and usually in a lot of leagues, you get a bye too. So it's like, I feel like you got to play every single week, no matter where your team's at. Unless your team is totally busted, you're a fire sale, then you just got to make sure you're selling all the guys and getting all the guys that you want to keep, and, you know, making sure you can compile your draft picks and go accordingly. And then maybe play spoiler for like the people you dislike, which in your league might be everybody.
And breaking news here, Tim Boyle is going to start for the Lions in Cleveland this week. Yikes.
Is that because Goff is hurt?
Yes. He was hurt and not practicing this week, and also has been terrible. But just about an hour ago, they announced that it seems like Boyle is going to start for the Lions. He's a third-year player, went undrafted out of Eastern Kentucky with four career passing attempts.
Dial up
your Browns defense.
In fairness to Goff, I don't think Goff is good. You know, I don't think he's that good. I mean, obviously he looked fairly good with the good offense in LA, but I mean, they just have no one to throw to there. I mean, outside of TJ Hockenstein and
Hockenstein, TJ Frankenstein.
Take TJ Frankenstein. And then obviously DeAndre Swift, who's having an amazing year, top 10 running back. There's just not much there. I mean, their offensive line is good, pretty good. But like, I think that team needs a number one wide receiver. I think they need a bruising, like run up the middle kind of back to complement Swift. And they just don't have any of that.
I mean, I think Jamal Williams is good. I think he's underrated still.
But he's still the same sort of running back that Swift is, like a pass catching first, shifty sort of running back. Like, I mean, he's not hitting the holes, you know, like I think
he's not AJ Dillon, but no, he's definitely
your new boy.
AJ Dillon looks amazing.
Yeah, he does. I like him.
But no, I mean, I think he's good and underrated still. I think this might be one of the Mike Davis rule here with Jamal Williams, where his name isn't great and he kind of sinks into the background partially because
he's a good player. Like, don't get me wrong. I just think they need, like, if they had like a Damian Harris type running back to complement DeAndre Swift,
someone better. Yeah.
Someone better. And just someone that can get the, you know, the dirty yards. Because I feel like when defenses know they can stop these backs up the middle, it makes it a little bit harder for the quarterbacks, but like, yeah, just a tough situation there. I mean, the wide receiving core is just not good.
Right. It's so not.
I don't know if I'd be going out getting, was it Nick Boyle?
Oh yeah, I'm not recommending getting him for your OP for your super flex. I'd rather
play Jameson Crowder or something.
Yeah, I am definitely advocating for the Cleveland defense this week. Against Boyle.
Yeah, are they available in our league?
Not in our league. I picked them up last week. Yes. Oh,
nice. Boyle's going to go off.
This matchup's even better, better than expected.
Yeah, well, Cleveland had a really bad week last week, so maybe they, you know, are angry. They turn it around. I don't know. That team is the league is so weird this year. It's so hard to pin down. I would not want to be betting on Ayah. Yeah, and that's what everybody's been saying. Like, it's just so hard to even guess, like, what's going to happen.
I really think that extra week has taken a toll, and it's made the season feel even longer than it,
well, it is longer. It's an extra game.
But it's 1 week longer.
That's a lot in football, you know, and like
we're feeling the effects.
And I feel like with COVID and stuff like that, things have been unpredictable. But like when the Jags beat Buffalo, it wasn't like Buffalo had a bunch of injuries. They just played bad.
Yeah. Well, hey, remember when we said it like a couple months ago, this is going to be like the NBA pretty soon, where, you know, players will take a day off here and there if they want to, or baseball, you know, what are you going to play every game? Not unless you're the Cal Ripkins of podcasting like us.
Yeah. I don't know if that could say that.
We're more like the Eli Mannings of podcasting.
Sure.
He had like an Iron Man streak for a while, and but ultimately is terrible, like was pretty bad. Just happened to have he like lucked into a few good wins. I feel like that's what we are.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You excited for Cam?
I am starting him this week.
Wow. Well, that's a good strategy because you have McCaffrey too. Now, last week, I know that was a bit of an annoyance.
I was so mad because I had picked up Cam. I had picked up Cam off the waiver wire because I saw this coming. And I was like looking at the scores, like I wasn't watching the game. And I keep on seeing Cam Newton score touchdowns. And I have McCaffrey and DJ Moore. And I was like, why? And then when he scored the second one, I was like, you have to be shitting me. I thought for sure I was going to lose the week. When I was like, oh man. But then of course, McCaffrey got his yards, got his receptions, was his normal, you know, dominant self. So yeah, I'm excited to play him this weekend because I mean, the alternative is like Trevor Lawrence and he just hasn't been good.
Yeah, not for fantasy or no, not really in the NFL.
Or real life, yeah. That might turn around, I don't know. I hope it does, but I'm excited to have Cam now because my other quarterback is Big Ben. He's in COVID list. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't been that good either.
I think Lawrence will be good. I mean, he
eventually.
He's certainly poised. He's got the talent. We know the skills are there. You know, as long as he doesn't get spooked by his first, you know,
it doesn't look like he's spooked out there at all. No, it just kind of looks. So. It just kind of looks like, you know, I mean, once again, like his best wide receivers are Marvin Jones. I mean, DJ Chark's pretty good, but he got injured.
Hey, he's got Dan Arnold to throw to.
He's got Dan Arnold. They traded for him, didn't they?
I don't know. I think O'Shaughnessy's coming back anyway at some point. So Arnold's shelf life might be coming to an end.
I don't know. I think he'll get better as the season goes on. I think, you know, same thing with like Justin Fields and, you know, when Trey Lance and, you know, all that.
You okay over there?
Yeah, I just had a brain fart. But like, I just think doing this experiment with a rookie quarterback, I was hoping that Trevor Lawrence would step in and just be like, not great, but good, real good. And he just hasn't been for fantasy purposes, especially. So I think it's just time. And I think if they go out and draft a wide receiver with their first round pick next year, then maybe, you know, he's a guy in a dynasty league. He's the guy, you know, you obviously probably want to hang on to, even in a keeper league, maybe.
Yeah, I think there are, you know, bright skies ahead for Trevor Lawrence in Dynasty, for example. So don't panic or anything like that. Superflex, mid-range keeper league like us, who knows? You know, maybe there'll be some value in the offseason. Or maybe it'd be one of the kind of things where, you know, he's getting drafted at like the QB8 next year. And you'd want to trade your QB5 because you can get more value for your QB5, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I just think, especially in a league like ours, I think a lot of people this year got enamored with these rookie quarterbacks because it was like, this is such a good class. And I just think you have to, be a little careful. Like in a keeper league, and especially with the two quarterbacks, I think I would have been more, it would have been a smarter move to maybe go with a guy that had a little bit better track record at that pick. You know, I think I would, it would have been a little bit safer. And I think in going ahead in the future, I just think that's what you got to do, unless they're like put in a situation where they have all the weapons, but that's just so rare.
Yeah.
That's just so rare. I mean, maybe people are looking at Mac Jones like that, but like Mac Jones was probably a quarterback you could have waited a lot longer than you would have had to for Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. Jones, I think barely got drafted at that point. Like his hype kind of just started to build in August.
And even so, like, I mean, he's been pretty good. He hasn't been great or anything.
It's, not for fantasy.
I think the team has been a lot better. You know, the Patriots have been really good. And I think he's getting hyped up, you know, just because of that. So, and they looked great last night, man.
They did.
The poor Falcons can't get it together.
No,
but they're really, I mean, they don't have a running back. Their number one wide receiver is gone.
Yeah. Teams, it happens to be the same person.
Cordell Patterson and then Calvin Ridley's gone too. And then, teams are just double teaming Pitts and saying, hey, beat us.
Yeah.
And the Falcons just can't, you know, Matt Ryan still doesn't look terrible. It's just, they can't protect him even it's sad over there.
Yeah. I know.
Patriots really broke them.
They did. I know. And I feel like we might've taken some shots at Matt Ryan earlier this year. And it's really not his fault, I don't think, but he's not really helping the case. I'm surprised they have as many wins as they do. I feel like they should be actually worse than they are, the Falcons, but they're not actually a pushover, which is still kind of surprising, but still pretty terrible.
I'm excited about Cam though. I'm excited to see what he can do. I think he has a lot to, I think he's like has that kind of like, you know, like I want to prove people wrong sort of thing. He's back in Carolina. He's got good weapons. Like I think it's kind of exciting. It might not work. He might be bad. Like it might all be bad, but I'm excited about the potential of it.
Yeah. I don't know how he's going to be throwing the ball. Last time we saw him really throw the ball, it wasn't great. He's obviously still a very dynamic runner and strong powerful and kind of just can't be stopped by the goal line. So I can see why, like when they signed him, he immediately got that package.
He scored those
two touchdowns were his first two plays in the league this season.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Great. He's amazing.
But I do feel like when he was in New England, like they didn't have a wide receiver one there. Like they really.
What are you talking about Jacoby Myers?
All right,
you're making a face at me.
Yeah, point proven. But like he has DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, two guys that can really get downfield. I mean, I think,
yeah, but the problem wasn't with the receivers last year. Like, it's not like the receiving core is that much different this year. It's better this year in New England, but, he couldn't throw the ball last year. Like he just couldn't throw the ball down the field at all. There was still something wrong with his shoulder, I think. So until, you know, we see him ripping the ball. Like, I'm not going to believe that he can actually be a thrower again, like he used to be.
Well, I guess for my sake, I just have to hope so.
Well, it might be fine either way. I mean, look, you could be accounting for 4+ touchdowns a week with those two players between McCaffrey and Cam. And maybe that's the way you have to look at it.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see how the first week with this goes, because I'm going to play all three of them for sure.
And more too. Yeah.
Yeah. More. Yeah. I got them all.
Yeah. DeAndre Hopkins is out for week 11 and Kyler Murray is a game time decision. Holy moly.
Yeah. I think, I was thinking about rolling out Kirk, but now that Murray's a game time decision, I don't know because it's between Kirk and Devonta Smith, and New Orleans has been allowing a lot of points to wide receivers fantasy wise, but they do have Lattimore, who really can shut down the team's best wide receiver. So I'm thinking maybe they're going to stick Lattimore on Smith. So I'm a little hesitant to, you know, Although Smith has been great the last 2 weeks, I haven't played him. I think I might have played him the week before, but I definitely didn't play him last week.
Devonta Smith, yeah. He has been great the past 2 weeks. A lot of touchdowns, 3 touchdowns. He had basically the same stat line or the same amount of fantasy points.
Yeah, it's just the week before touchdowns. He just had more yards and mm-hmm. more receptions.
Right.
Yeah, so it's a tough one. I might if Murray's a game time decision, I might roll with Smith. No, I'm thinking about it now. I guess we'll probably wait till 9 a.m. on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Pacific time.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel like this point in the season, like to what we were talking about a few minutes ago, is kind of really true, especially with these Cardinals. Like, what did they start out like 8-0 or 7-0 or something? And they've lost, they lost one, and the Rams lost 2 in a row. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, obviously anything can happen, but I just feel like these are like the dog days of the NFL season, like right before the stretch run happens, you know?
Yeah. It's like, interesting.
If you're going to take a week off to heal up, like this is the week to do it, or next week.
Because I've been reading like a lot of these guys that are injured, like their teams are on a bye next week. So, you know, sometimes it's just good to get that extra week if you don't necessarily need to like have your team at full strength to win or be competitive. Because I think there's some teams out there that like can rest certain guys and still be very competitive. So we'll see. I mean, I don't think Arizona wants Colt McCoy out there, but I think they can do without DeAndre Hopkins for an extra week. And still be successful.
Yeah, I think you're right. Hopkins hasn't been that great, and he's been out for a few weeks now. And so they're in Seattle. It's an important game for them, though.
Yeah.
Another division.
I think Kyler will probably play. Mm-hmm. I think he will probably play.
Yeah, I think you're right. And maybe Hopkins. Well, Hopkins is out. So.
Hopkins is out. Yeah, I just think they've been spreading the ball around there. Like AJ Green's had some good games. Christian Kirk's been pretty consistent. Rondale Moore's had some blow up games. Chase Edmonds, Connor, there's like a ton of mouths to feed in terms of fantasy points over there. And some games, you know, they just score a lot of points. So everybody gets fed, but I don't think there's that every game dominant player on that team outside of maybe Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, yeah, Hopkins hasn't even had a 100-yard game this season. No.
I mean, you don't necessarily need it in a PPR. You have 60-some yards and 5 receptions and a touchdown, you're good to go. You know, that's a good game. But yeah, he hasn't been his dominant self.
He's got 7 touchdowns. So, yeah, I mean, he's made up for his lack of, you know, what you expect from yards with a healthy amount of touchdowns at least. You mentioned Rondale Moore, Adam. I wanted to bring up a trade I made this week in a dynasty league.
Oh,
with friend of the show, Mike Krafick. This is that dynasty.
Your alter ego?
Yeah, this is that dynasty league that he runs. I think it was friends from back home. And I famously had the first pick overall and drafted Najee Harris.
Famously.
and so I have like a plethora of running back depth in this league, and I started off good. I think I was like 2-1, and then now I'm 2-8, but ooh, that was expected. Like I didn't expect to compete.
Yeah,
but
it was, I think I've seen that team.
Yeah, it's not a good team. I'm still rebuilding it from when I took over. It looks a lot better now than the way it looked a few years ago. I'm really rebuilding it from the ground up, and it's been a lot of fun, I have to say. I suggest anyone out there who's interested in a challenge like that to take on a situation like that. It's kind of fun. But anyway,
It is sometimes fun in a dynasty league, but I was also picked up a team in that dynasty league, and I had it for a couple of, oh, it is a different one. But like I had it for a couple of years, and it was just so hard to dig yourself out of the ditch of such a bad team, because there were teams that were so good, you know, and it's a dynasties league. So you can't get any of those really good players off of them.
Five-year plan, buddy.
Yeah, I just didn't have the patience. I guess I was in too many other leagues where I was like, fuck this. I was just like, I'm out. I'm sorry.
It's a different kind of challenge, you know, like, you know, I think when I took over this team, my best players were Larry Fitzgerald and Devonta Freeman. And this was like 3 years ago, and they were still bad then, you know, but I traded them, if, you know, for a draft pick, you know, so I slowly started drafting. Well, I got some talent now. I had Josh Jacobs. And so my running back depth was Josh Jacobs, Najee Harris, Cam Akers, Zach Moss, Miles Gaskin. I have Singletary as well. So a pretty decent running back core. And this is like a standard scoring league, basically. So I like the running back depth, but again, I'm not competitive. And this was one of the reasons why I was considering taking ETN over Harris before ETN's injury this offseason, because I just thought ETN was more of a next year or 2 years from now, he's going to help me because this team isn't maturating yet, you know?
Yeah.
Is that the word? Or maturing yet? Yeah, because Harris is like amazing this year, and he's probably going to be amazing next year. But
yeah, like, when you were talking about taking ETN, I was like, well, I mean, this is obviously before he got injured, but I was still like, thank you, Harris. I said to you, Harris or Chase. Those were the two guys.
You're right. And I'm glad that that it worked out the way it did, where I got Harris, because he's been great. It's obviously more value, more trade value if I was to move him at this point, which is actually something I would consider right now, because again, I'm 2-8 and not probably going to compete next year too, unless Trey Lance, who I drafted this year, starts next year and he's really good, and Akers comes back and he's really good, and Harris, and then my draft is good. So again, it's a five, this is going to end up being a 5-year project to even be competitive again. So
I'm excited about it.
I actually really like it.
I hated it.
I traded Josh Jacobs this week for Rondale Moore, the Arizona Cardinals rookie receiver. And this was kind of a deal, a similar trade I was trying to make in the offseason, where I was trying to trade Josh Jacobs for a second round pick. And I was eyeballing Devonta Smith or Rondale Moore, obviously Bateman, but he probably would have went. Or there was one other guy, Terrace Marshall from Carolina. I was sort of hoping to get and use Josh Jacobs as a trade piece, because he's been in the league a few years. I don't know how much longer he's going to be playing, well, to where he has value in a dynasty league as a running back. Like it might not be any longer, you know?
Yeah. And you can see that in Arizona, they have two aging wide receivers and AJ Green and
DeAndre Hopkins.
So I think, you know, Kirk and Rondale Moore are the future there, and obviously
Kirk is a free agent, but
they might keep him, you know, because I think, you know, I don't know, did AJ Green sign a multi-year deal? I'm assuming it was just a one-year deal.
Yeah, I thought it could be. It's, you know, everything's pretty much
temporary. I mean, if I was Arizona, I'd probably try to keep Kirk. But
he's been good.
Yeah. So Rondale Moore might become the guy there at some point. He's definitely dynamic.
Yeah.
He kind of reminds me of Bateman a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Debo Samuel and Ayuk, like these guys that can run with the ball. They're dynamic. They're not necessarily the fastest guy in the field, but they can get away. They have nice burst. You know, they're just, you know, this new breed of wide receiver, kind of reminds me of like Steve Smith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. You know? I could see what you're saying. Yeah. Very they can work in
multiple,
explosive.
Multiple routes, patterns, things like that. I like all those guys. You know,
I'll tell you, Bateman. Yeah, Bateman's really impressive, impressing me. His route running, just efficiency. Think this guy is.
He's tough.
I don't have Steve Smith is actually a pretty good comparison, because I think he's a really great route runner. I think he's almost like a tactician out there.
Yeah.
Efficient, and he's like he's 22 or something.
Break tackle, stuff like that. Yards after the catch, get that yak. But man, once again, how good does Debo Samuel look out there? Oh my God.
Debo Samuel looks great. Yeah. Electric. Oh my God. Absolutely. Explosive with the ball in his hands. Yeah.
That's so crazy. That is so crazy how, you know, he went down. Then Ayuk was like out of control towards the end of the year last year. And mm-hmm. now they have the two, both those guys. It's going to be interesting to see if Trey Lance turns into something. That could be a team that's real tough.
Yeah. And Shittle Kittle still too, who's playing really well.
About Shittle Kittle. And they seem to be able to get their running backs, no matter who's back there, to produce. It doesn't matter who's back there.
I agree. There's like four or five guys.
Yeah, you know, because it's a scheme thing. It's a scheme thing. Yeah. And you know, they get that zone run blocking scheme going that Shanahan likes to implement, and those guys just get going, and then that frees up all their wide receivers, or they get those wide receiver runs. Debo had that nice run for a touchdown last week.
Yeah,
I was all excited about, because it didn't go to Kittle.
It's exciting. Now obviously one thing that we spoke about in the offseason was, if Trey Lance were to take over, and really when he's going to take over that team, how does that change the target distribution between Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, and Shittle Kittle? I think for now, those three are safe as long as they're playing. Obviously, when Jimmy G is out there, Jimmy G doesn't want to throw the ball a lot. Like, they don't love to throw the ball, but they're really efficient when they do. And those three players are freaking awesome. And Jimmy G can get them the ball. How long does Jimmy G last? Like, I maybe look at the standings to see when Trey Lance is going to see some real action this year. I don't think he's gonna, personally. I don't know why he's gonna, unless San Francisco is like, okay, well, we're mathematically out of it, and right now they're 4-5, so they're still a ways away from being mathematically eliminated. Yeah. You know, I see at least another month of Jimmy G, which what's the problem there other than not developing Trey Lance under fire?
And, you know, he probably is developing. I mean, he's learning. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think who knows what these scouts know or these analysts know, but they said he was the most raw of all the rookie quarterbacks. So, and I think that's kind of always the thing they say when they come out of a smaller school or like not a power, you know, conference school, you know, that's what they said about Josh Allen. Oh, he's so raw. And it did take Josh Allen 2 years to really get the hang of it. But you saw once he came in, like even when he was, you know, in his first year, you saw the talent. You saw the potential. You saw the arm. You saw
the speed and the arm. You saw the speed and the size. And the arm.
Exactly. It's just like getting to know the playbook, getting accurate. That takes time in the NFL, because these guys in the secondary, it's a whole different speed of game. And especially the DNs coming off the line, coming at you, and the tackles coming through the center, the linebackers, everyone's faster. Everyone's bigger. And that's, you know, always the trick for somebody who comes from a small school or a Division II or Division III school, is they haven't seen anything like that before. Mm-hmm. And you can't teach it until you're out there doing it. I mean, you can learn in practice a little bit, but
yeah,
you know, come Sunday, it's a different game and it takes some time. But yeah, Trey Lance is an intriguing guy. And in a dynasty league, you know, like if you have somebody who's kind of struggling and is looking to make trades or like looking to get a guy that can help them right now, Trey Lance might be a really good target because they have all the weapons.
Yeah.
And they're going to for a little while.
Yeah, absolutely. Make a play like that if you can. I drafted Lance. So I'm hoping that, you know, this team matures at the right time together, maybe not in 2022, but maybe in 2023.
Yeah.
And some of my receivers are kind of projects as well. The aforementioned Jacoby Myers. You know, I love Bryan Edwards, who actually looked all right last week for the Raiders.
Yeah.
Kadarius Toney, I kind of lucked into that in the third round of this
rookie
draft.
He looks good. He looks good. I like him.
Yeah. I got no tight ends, but we'll get there, you know.
It's tough. It's tough with the tight end. It's tough. And it's like, even when you get guys you think are good, like unless you have one of those top guys, like you're still kind of swinging for the fence there, you know, because it's very easy for them to have those 2-3 reception games with no touchdowns. And you're like, and they only have like 15-20 yards. And you're like, but you've been playing so well. You know, like the guys like Higby and Knox and Freiermuth and who else? There was another one I was thinking of.
Conklin. Yeah, he was good
Uzuma in Cincinnati. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Uzoma. Yeah, I think so.
Uzoma. Yeah. So, like, I think all those guys have potential to have, like, really good weeks, but they also have potential to have stinkers, unlike, you know, your Kittle, your Waller, your Kelsey, you know, like those guys are just locked in. I would say Evan Ingram's another one, put that in that list, that could have a decent game, you know, or a good game here or there, you know, but the potential of touchdowns. He's looked good some weeks, but yeah, it's tough with tight ends if you don't have one of the really good ones to find somebody who's consistent.
Yeah, and it's tough with that Giants passing game. I never know what the hell's going on there. It seems like they've got a million guys, and they're always hurt, and someone's coming back.
It's always hurt.
And Jones is out or he's in, and who knows?
Like I really was interesting. I wanted to think about a way to get Sterling Shepard on my team, but I couldn't think of anybody to drop. And then I'm also like, I also never know what to expect, even if he is playing. Yeah. Like,
when would you feel comfortable starting him?
No.
Not unless he put together like two good weeks in a row, and then there were injuries on the team, and Jones was back, and it was a good matchup. It really have to be a perfect storm.
Yeah, I don't know who to trust in that offense, like outside of Saquon if he's healthy.
Yeah,
and he hasn't been. I mean, I don't even know if he's coming back this week.
Yeah, it seems like he is going to.
Well, I mean,
but if he doesn't. Yeah. Get your Devontae Booker ready.
Yeah.
Devontae Booker was good.
He hasn't been too bad.
He wasn't bad. Like, he's sufficient, you know?
Yeah. I just remember picking him up. It might've been last year when Barkley went down. He was just terrible. Like, it was just like, like, you know, 15 rushes for like 30 some yards, no touchdown, like one or two receptions. I was like, I thought this guy, you know, just like, he's just bad. So I just figured that would be the case this year. And this year he's been actually pretty good.
It's been okay. Yeah. Been okay. I think Jamal, in a talent scale, in case you're wondering, I figure Jamal Williams is a little bit better than Devonta Booker.
But better talent.
They're basically, in that same kind of range.
I think Jamal Williams on New York would be better than Booker. You know who's been great? My waiver steal of the year so far is Darrell Williams.
He's been really good.
And it's going to be interesting. Like, I definitely don't think I'm going to play him the week Edwards-Helaire comes back. I think we talked about this last week because I want to see. But, like, I think he still might have some value there because he just catches the ball so well and he blocks so well.
I would definitely hold on to him. Yeah.
I'm not getting rid of him, but I'm just talking about actually starting him. Like, if Edwards-Helaire is back this week, probably not starting him. But if he's not, I think I'm definitely going to play him again.
Yeah. I would definitely hold at this point, watch what's going on with Edwards-Helaire. It seems like Andy Reid today did not say whether or not Edwards-Helaire would be activated for week 11 against the Cowboys, but
do they have a bye next week?
That I don't know. Yes, in week 12.
They do, so maybe he comes back in week 13.
And honestly, like, I know Edwards-Helaire was like a first round draft pick?
He was our first round pick at the end of the
bit
first
of a
round.
Reach. A bit of a reach, if
he
ask me.
Yeah, he hasn't been that good.
No.
Darrell Williams, though. He's been good.
Yeah, I mean, talent-wise, I would say they're pretty even, to be honest. So, I don't know. Like,
he's been, like, I think the biggest thing was, like, he's not the greatest runner. He's not going to he's not going to get 100 yards rushing, but he has been catching the ball. He seems every week to get more and more of a connection with Mahomes. And, like, I feel like the better Williams has been playing, the better Mahomes has been looking. You know, that was, you know, their best game together, and they looked like the whole offense looked like it was really clicking.
Well, he's definitely been better for the Chiefs than Edwards-Helaire was earlier in the year because the Chiefs started clicking a little bit last week versus Las Vegas. So if that continues again next week, expect that to be the trend, you know, and maybe all of a sudden Edwards-Helaire is sort of the handcuff to Williams. I mean, I wouldn't get carried away with Williams's talent, though. I don't think he's great either.
I don't think so either. I just think there's a connection there between them, at least in the passing game, with him blocking and him being open. Like, I mean, that catch he had in the end zone last week was just sick.
Yeah, I mean, no worse than Damian Williams, who was great in the Super Bowl that year.
Exactly. I think it's on the same level. I think it's on the same level. I think, you know, he just kind of stepped in and just replaced him, you know.
Yeah, he's an all-purpose guy who can catch and run, and so that has value. Yeah, and he's not bad. So
I think as long as Edwards-Helaire is sitting, I want him in my lineup.
All right. Well, everybody, I hope you enjoy your week 11. I hope you win. I know I'm going to win and just start my steamroll through the playoffs this week. Here he comes. So thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll see you next week. Take that bullshit.